You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
You are now tuned into The Exclusive Breakdown. From the sports to the kicks, we have the news and analysis you need. Now, here's your host, Tyrone Smith.
All right, before we get into any discussions of what's going on today, let me just first start off by saying I am very, very, very disappointed right now with UPS. UPS is always giving me the runaround when it comes to me getting the stuff that I need. I ain't got three pair of shoes that's supposed to be coming to the house, and they ain't came yet. And I ain't seen two UPS trucks ride around in my neighborhood. So, like, where are they going, and why are they not giving me my stuff? Little vent for the day. But let's get into this episode, man. First off, let me start off by saying my apologies for missing last week. I told y'all things go on behind the scenes, and you know, sometimes you just got to sacrifice a little something for something. But I'm here today to do what I do best, and that is talk. And once again, I'm solo dolo ron in the building. For those who don't know, though, I am Tyrone Smith, a.k.a. Ron 2 Exclusive, a.k.a. Mr. Hustle Bandit, a.k.a. Mr. Sneaker Bandit, 4-Point Island Lock 'em Up Ron, who in about a couple weeks will be celebrating his 29th birthday. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. But, man, it's been a lot going on in the basketball world, the sneaker world. It's a whole lot of different things that's been going on that I really want to talk about. But we're going to keep this episode on one particular thing. Well, actually, a couple particular things. You know, it's crazy how one thing can kind of change the whole direction of what you're trying to do in terms of what you want to talk about and, you know, what your episode is going to be specifically based upon. It's crazy how one thing or two things or maybe three things, but in this case, two things kind of changes the whole narrative of what you want to talk about today. But first off, let's start off by saying that the best part of the NBA is here, man. I mean, the playoffs is nice. The finals wasn't too much to watch. Probably one of the most lopsided finals I ever watched in my life. It was boring, and because I had to watch every game from start to finish, because I had to give my analysis and opinions on different things like that. And it was gut-wrenching. It was just like, oh, can I watch something else? But I couldn't. I had to stick it through, and I stuck it through for my people. I stuck it through for you guys. So appreciate all the hard work and dedication I do, even though I don't want to do it, because most of the time when I find something that's boring, I get disinterested very easily, and it's just no point in me watching no more. But this is the best part of the year, man. Free agency is upon us. There was so many different questions about who's going to go where. What's going to happen? What kind of major trades are we going to see? And it's been everything that I've expected with a couple of surprises. So first off, let me start off with let me see who I want to start off with. Well, let's start off with the obvious. Let's start off with LeBron James. He signed a 4-year max contract with the LA Lakers. Big shout out to LeBron, man. You know, that man is really, he's one of them guys that you can really, you know, follow a pattern after, because he really does things the right way. The decision wasn't the right way, more so it was a thing where it was just like a little too much on yourself, even though it was for the Boys and Girls Club, if I'm not mistaken, if that's what that particular episode was for. So it was kind of for a good cause, but a lot of people kind of seen it as a selfish act. I've definitely seen it as a selfish act. It made my fan duel appreciation for LeBron go from like a 10 at that point to maybe like a 4. And now it's probably at like a 6. But, you know, LeBron, he really does things business-wise. He really is a business mogul. He's about to potentially become the first billion-dollar athlete, which is like amazing when you think about it. But he signs a four-year contract. Now, I'm not going front. I was surprised by the number of years in the contract. 4 years definitely wasn't expected for him to go that long in terms of commitment years to a team. He's more so of a one and one type of player. So, I mean, to see him go four for the max was kind of surprising. So that kind of instantly put the Lakers on the map until they went ahead and just made moves that you probably would just be like, what are you doing, LA? What are you doing? First of all, they went and signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. For those who don't know, my loyal Detroit listeners, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was the inconsistent shooting guard of the Detroit Pistons, a guy who could give you 30 for three straight games and then put five games disappear and then have a stretch of five games where he's back and forth between 15 to 20 points and 5 to 10 points. So he's that guy. So they re-signed him to a one-year deal. That's definitely a LeBron move. They're represented by the same agency, sports agency, so you kind of expected for that to happen. That's a good move. One year deal, he can get out of there, maybe test the market in 2019 when a lot of teams have a lot of cap. So good for KCP. And then they go out and they get LeBron's nemesis, Lance Stephenson. Now, we all know, well, some of you may not know, but for the most part, LeBron is a guy who thrives when he has shooters around him. Lance Stephenson isn't that much of a shooter. Now, he is a very effective playmaker considering the fact that he doesn't, you know, really shoot the ball. He can get guys involved. He has a pretty good handle for a guy of his size. So in terms of what he will be able to bring to the team, he'll bring a little toughness, a little craziness, a lot of weirdness. But nonetheless, he's an interesting piece to say nonetheless. Then you go out and you get Shaqtin' the Fool legend JaVale McGee. Yes, the one, the only JaVale McGee, man. He signs a one-year $5.3 million deal with the Lakers. Now, I understand why they made this move. I mean, you have to, when you play in Golden State, and we'll talk about them a little later, but when you play in Golden State, you need guys, you need big men who could crash the glass, who can block shots, and JaVale McGee is that guy. The same thing with Lance Stephenson. He'll give you instances of good play, good consistent play. And then he'll give you instances of just, what are you doing, JaVale? Like, why are you doing this? So those are two signings that could either be very effective for the team or it could just kill team chemistry altogether. And then the Lakers go out and they sign Rajon Rondo to a one-year $9 million contract. Now, I guess I can understand this particular move, maybe, kind of, sort of. Lonzo Ball, you know, is the point guard of the future of the Lakers. Like, we can't dispute that. He's the point guard of the future. He's the guy that they invested so much in when they picked him second overall. He's a guy who struggled his rookie year, but kind of came on towards the later part of the year and, you know, showed potential of being a very, very good point guard. He's a guy who can do it all. He has the potential to score. He's a very effective rebounder and a very good playmaker, and he plays defense. He's a very good defensive point guard. He just stays hurt. He's often hurt. Right now, he has a torn meniscus, so he will be out. He will be ready by training camp, even though I think that was a ploy to not be traded for Kawhi Leonard to San Antonio. But we'll get into that. Rondo gives Boston a veteran guard. And you've seen what Rondo did in the playoffs, man. He elevated that Pelicans team. It's like, regular season Rondo, you know, he's there for the leadership. He's a guy who's not scared to say what's on his mind. He's not scared to get into guys. He's not scared to let guys know if they're playing well, if they're not playing well, what they need to do better, this, that, and the third. He's that guy. Playoff Rondo is a whole nother animal, though. I mean, he's a guy who turns back the clock at least 6 years. You would think he was in his third year in the league. He's out there. He's running the point guard, shooting threes, getting floaters, triple doubles, 20-plus assist games. I mean, he be out there doing the dang on thing. So you can't be mad at Rondo. I mean, it's a solid signing. But when you think about the team that you have to put together when you have LeBron on your team, you have to surround him with shooters. And between JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson, Rondo, and a inconsistent at best shot from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, inconsistent at best shot from Lonzo Ball, not Julius Randle, he got signed by the Pelicans, and, you know, big mistake by LA by rescinding them rights, but it was apparent that Julius Randle kind of seen the writing on the wall, felt unappreciated in LA, and decided that he wanted to go to New Orleans. That's a good move for New Orleans. I like that move, pairing them up with Anthony Davis and Nikola Mirotic. That's a nice, formidable young forward tandem, young forward center, whatever you want to call it, tandem for the Pelicans. It's not going to be enough for them to beat the Warriors, but still, I mean, it's a nice, solid building block. But you got Kuzma, and then you got Ingram. I mean, and then, you know, you still got to fill out the roster, so it remains to be seen. The rookie, the first-round pick out of Michigan, he balled out in the summer league, scored up 25 points. So I think he's going to be an effective help for that Lakers team. But, I mean, it's not a lot of shooters on that squad that you can really count on. And you just got to wonder if this is going to be the team going into the season. If this is the team going into the season, I don't theoretically like it. I feel like it's a lot of parts that may not work or probably won't work. So you have to kind of take that into consideration. The Lakers winning culture for the past 4 or 5 years hasn't been there. So, you know, guys maybe coming into the situation with the big head, you know, JaVale McGee, he just won 2 championships. So maybe he's going to come in with a little different attitude. Maybe he feels he can do a little more or try to do a little more because he has 2 championship rings. So you got to take that in consideration. Lance Stephenson, for as good as I said he was, I mean, he has moments where he makes crazy boneheaded plays. So you got to take that into consideration. Rondo is a guy who's really not going to take a lot of stuff from nobody. You're not going to really be able to talk to him any kind of way without a response from him. So you don't know how that's going to work. So, you know, I think it's a lot of intriguing parts for the LA Lakers, man. A lot of intriguing parts. So, like I said, big shout out to Bron. Like, I was surprised by the number of years, but, you know, 4 years, one, a lot of money. I'm not going to, it's a lot of money. Makes me wish I would have just stayed with basketball. I'm looking at these contracts and I'm like, man, I wish I would have stuck with the game. Because if I would have stuck with the game, I don't think I would have been in like that $30 million range. But as a defender, you know what I'm saying? I could have made about a cool $10, $12 million for a couple years, you know what I'm saying? Playing defense, you know? You know, the lost form in basketball, defense. So big shout out to LeBron. Paul George. I've had Paul George going to the Lakers since Paul George got traded to the Thunder. You know what I'm saying? So, like, to hear him staying, re-signing with the Oklahoma City Thunder was a shock. It was a big shock. I definitely was not expecting that. Initially, in the beginning, I definitely wasn't expecting that. I kind of felt it was either L.A. or bust for Paul George. After the first-round exit of the Thunder by the Jazz, I definitely thought it was either L.A. or bust for the Thunder. But apparently, Paul George decided that he wants to be a part of the Westbrook train. I mean, I really don't know. I can't really fathom the re-signing of Paul George. I mean, but anyway, I guess I can. I take that back. I mean, Oklahoma City is a place that you will want to play. I mean, their fans are really raucous and rowdy, and you know they're really diehards for their team. I mean, no matter what the situation is, they haven't really faced too many losing years since coming over from Seattle. They haven't really faced that many losing years. But even when they were, you know, just kind of, you know, coming up, I mean, the fans still came out and supported the Thunder. They really came out and they supported them. And, you know, I think that, you know, maybe the bright lights and the expectations and the scrutiny of playing in L.A., the scrutiny of playing with a LeBron James, maybe that was just something to entice Paul George to decide, you know what, maybe I should stay in OKC and, you know, build with Westbrook. Now, it's the same song and dance with the Thunder, so that makes you wonder how far they're going to go in the playoffs. I mean, Melo opted into his contract, so he's going to be about $28 mil towards the cap. They just signed Nerlens Noel, he was top 10, definitely. I can't remember if he was top 5, but he was definitely top 10. I think he was 6 in his draft. But he was definitely a top 10 pick who turned out to not really turn out to really be anything. Had a couple good years in Philly, got hurt, got traded to Dallas, turned down a max deal with the bet that he was going to bet on himself to have a great year to maybe get a max contract, got hurt in his last year and was forced to sign the deal that he signed in Oklahoma City. But the team, nonetheless, is still the same, man. So you got to wonder how far they're going to get in terms of, you know, playoff wins or, you know, seeding and all this other different stuff that comes with teams kind of being the same. Kind of with the same thing with Portland. When they lost, I initially had them kind of, you know, falling, but, you know, they took a step up. Maybe the one extra year of continuity, maybe that helps the Thunder be an effective team. Maybe it helps them more than it hurts them. So, you know, that's something definitely to think about. But Paul George resigns with the Thunder. So shout out to PG. Chris Paul signs an $160 million contract for 4 years. Now, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised that they resigned him, because I think that was a great move by Houston. But to give a guy who is 32, going on 33, $40 million a year. $40 million a year for a guy who at the end of his contract is going to be about 37 years old, who may not be the same effective player that he was, was kind of shocking. I definitely wasn't expecting for that to be. Maybe I was thinking maybe like a 1-1. Maybe I seen that. Maybe like a 2, or, you know, something with an option in it where he could opt out or opt in or whatever. But Houston wasn't financially committed beyond maybe 2 years or a year if they felt that he was going to fall off. And Chris Paul is always injured, so that's something you got to think about with Chris Paul and his $40 million contract. Like, he's always injured. He always gets injured at the most inopportune times of the playoffs or just in general. And his injury may be the reason why the Rockets or whoever he played for aren't able to go farther in the playoffs, because, you know, he gets injured and it just kind of takes away the whole momentum or, you know, the whole confidence of the team because they don't have their floor general. So that was something that I definitely thought about when I heard that Chris Paul was going to be signing for $40 million for 4 years. I'm like, man, I mean, that's a big gamble. That's a big gamble. Definitely a big gamble. So it remains to see what they're going to do with Clint Capella. He's still currently a restricted free agent as I talk to you at this particular moment. Don't know what's going to happen with that going later on down the line, but I'm pretty sure a lot of teams are, you know, using their cap space. So I don't know if he'll be a hot commodity. Maybe he resigns with Utah but Houston for a nice little chunk of money, and then you'll go from there. Then there was some other big signings like Joe Harris and Doug McDermott and who else? And then this other guy, I mean, from New Orleans, DeMarcus Cousins, signed a 1 year mid-level taxpayer exception with the Golden State Warriors, man. Now, this one, This one was probably is probably the biggest shock, and this automatically gives Golden State the W in this free agency. They don't have to do anything else, even though they still have to fill out the roster. So you got to kind of see what pieces they're going to put together to fill out the roster to contend for another championship. But to get DeMarcus Cousins, a guy who averaged 25 plus 12 rebounds and 5 assists on your team for $5 million was the biggest steal of all steals you can possibly steal. It was like a Kenny Lofton steal in baseball, or somebody else that you can think of in baseball. Who's the all-time? Oh, Ricky Henderson. It was like a Ricky Henderson steal in baseball. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really a steal. Now, a lot of people are kind of on DeMarcus' head. Why would you go sign with the Warriors? You could have got so much money, this, that, and the third, blah, blah, blah. Here's how I look at it, man. People forget that DeMarcus Cousins, yeah, he was having an all-star year, had an all-star year. He tore his Achilles. You know what I'm saying? He tore his Achilles, like, tore it. And the market just simply was not there for DeMarcus Cousins. Now, he wanted a super max deal or a max contract. He wasn't going to get that from New Orleans, which means that New Orleans would have to commit maybe 4 to 5 years for DeMarcus Cousins. They weren't going to commit that because they don't know what kind of player they're going to get in terms of, you know, effectiveness. I mean, coming off an Achilles is catastrophic. You know what I'm saying? That's a catastrophic injury that a lot of basketball players do not come back from. He may still be effective, but he may not be as effective as he once was before he tore his Achilles. So, you know, that's one thing. And then a lot of people say the attitude, you know, he had an attitude, this, that, and the third, but I didn't really see attitude problems with DeMarcus Cousins when he played with New Orleans. I mean, he seems to have bought into the system. He was more effective on the court, and he wasn't hurting the team in terms of his technical fouls and this, that, and the third. So I don't think the attitude problem was a problem. I just think that the market, first of all, there's not a lot of teams that can really legit offer him a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's only from, I think my calculations, I think it was like maybe 10 teams, maybe, that had cap space to do anything. And maybe like 4 or 5 or of them teams, you know, only had maybe had like 20 plus million to play with, you know. So, I mean, the market simply wasn't there. And for the teams that really had it, like a Sacramento or an Atlanta or Brooklyn, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think DeMarcus Cousins wants to win. I think that's his whole thing. I mean, he got to New Orleans. He was in a winning culture. He was competing for a playoff spot. I think that the taste of success that he had in New Orleans, the brief time that he was there, we're not even going to count when he got traded to New Orleans that one particular year, because they were still trying to find themselves, this, that, and the third. But when he found his traction, and when Alvin Gentry was able to create a potent offense based off of his big man, New Orleans thrived, and they thrived very well. And they thrived to the point where they were contenders in the playoff picture. They made the playoffs. They made the playoffs. And who knows what could have happened if DeMarcus Cousins was healthy playing the Golden State Warriors. They could have legit maybe went to maybe a 6-7 game series. That's something that people really don't think about. He really elevated that team. Now he goes to Golden State, and we have to be alarmed of the fact that he's probably not going to play no time soon. He's probably not going to play until probably maybe January, maybe February. I mean, Achilles is about 8 to 12 months to come back from. So that's something to think about. He might not be back. He might not be. He said he's going to be ready for training camp, but I doubt he's ready for training camp. I think he's probably going to be back maybe late December, January, February at the latest. So that's something to think about. And even then, Golden State is good enough to hold the fort. I don't think it really matters to Golden State at this point what they do in terms of seeding. Because if you really look at the West, like, yes, granted, the Lakers got LeBron, but they really aren't that much better in terms of, you know, like, filling out the team and, you know, having a team that could really compete with the LeBron. When you compare the squads, when you compare the Cavaliers squad that he just left compared to the Lakers squad, I mean, can you really say it's that much of a difference in terms of Cleveland having the better talent? Like Lonzo Ball, George Hill, I'm giving it to Lonzo just because he's a young player with upside who can do a lot more. J.R. Smith, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I'm definitely taking KCP. Even though I say he's super inconsistent, I'm definitely taking KCP over J.R. Smith because while KCP will give you three games of great ball and maybe four games of inconsistency, J.R. will give you a game and a half of great basketball and six games of inconsistency. So I'm going to take KCP over J.R. Power forward, I mean, you'll have an advantage with Kevin Love. Center, you'll probably have an advantage with Tristan Thompson. But between Kuz and Ingram and Stevenson and McGee and Rondo over Hood and Clarkston and Larry Nance, like, I would legit give the advantage, a little small advantage to Cleveland in terms of players that, you know, kind of meshes with LeBron. So, you know, I mean, L.A., I mean, yeah, they're in the hunt now. But, I mean, I think this is all more so of them going after Kawhi. Like, this is the only way, like, these moves are only effective if they get Kawhi. If they don't get Kawhi, what the heck are they doing? But on the flip, a lot of these deals are one-year deals. So in the event they don't get Kawhi, they can still be players in the 2019 free agency. So, I mean, in a way, it's kind of strategic. But then in a way, it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be a good enough Laker team to get far in the playoffs. So now, Golden State, I mean, they're in a perfect position because they don't have to rush Boogie back. They can sit him until late February. And as long as he gets enough rhythm to get into the playoffs, he could do his thing in the playoffs. Like, I think Boogie knows that he's not going to be a warrior long term. Like, this is just an opportunity for him to showcase himself as being a max player type of player when the 2019 free agency comes. So I think this is his opportunity to show that. Now, I don't think in terms of his numbers, they're not going to really show because you got Steph, one of the greatest shooters of all time. Klay, one of the greatest shooters. KD, one of the greatest scorers. Dre, who's one of the best all-around forwards in the game. You know what I'm saying? So it's like his numbers and touches is going to be limited. You know, he's not going to be able to get all the touches that he got when he was with Sacramento. He's not going to get all the touches he got when he was with New Orleans. I mean, I think his game is going to change astronomically, you know? But, shout out to the Warriors, man. They they pulled the wool over everybody's hat, bro. The wool over everybody's eyes, man, by making this move. And then the crazier thing is, like, Boogie contacted them. You know what I'm saying? So I think, like, he knew. Like, when you get no offers, like, I mean, that sticks a craw in you, man. That really sticks a craw in you and makes you feel unwanted and unappreciated. And I feel like he wants to go to a team where he can show that he can be the integral piece to a championship. Now, does this cement Golden State as the NBA champions for the 2019 year? Let's not go that far. We're still only in, what is this, July 3rd? So we're still only in the third day of July. Anything can happen between now and the start of the season. Like, any trades can happen. The Lakers can get better. We can kind of see exactly what they're molding in terms of what they're trying to do with the roster. But the way I'm looking at it, I'm definitely looking at maybe trying to trade Kuz, Ingram, and maybe Zoe for Kawhi. Maybe some picks. Because that's the way the signings that they're making, it makes it seem like they're trying to make those type of, you know, get those players to San Antonio for Kawhi. So that's something definitely to think about, man. Something to think about. What else? Dwight Howard signs a 1 year deal with the Washington Wizards. Solid signing by Washington. They traded Gortat for Austin Rivers maybe like a couple weeks ago. So they needed a presence down low, and you know, Dwight Howard had a resurging year in Charlotte. He averaged 17 points, 12 rebounds. Very effective in the pick and roll game with Kemba Walker. So I kind of expect that same thing with John Wall. He has Bradley Beal. So I think Dwight Howard is going to do quite all right. And I think defensively he's still going to be the guy to you know, who's still going to be able to anchor a defense. Not so much of what he was when he was Orlando, where he was winning Defensive Player of the Year every single year, it seemed like. But he's still a capable enough defender to where he'll anchor that Washington defense, where maybe John Wall and Bradley Beal could be a little more aggressive on defense and, you know that they got Dwight Howard protecting them. And then they also signed Jeff Green. So Washington definitely feels like, with LeBron going to the West, they really have a chance to go for it. And when the offseason started, I was like, you know what? Maybe they need to trade like John Wall, Bradley Beal, maybe get another player in there, maybe get a big guy in there who could, you know, give you buckets in the post, who can give you that stretch four that you would possibly need, maybe give you the double double that you're looking for. Maybe they have a tradable piece. Maybe they should really look into that. But with LeBron leaving, this opens up the opportunity for so many different teams. Like, you don't see Toronto really making a lot of moves. They re-signed their backup point guard, Van Fleet. But you don't see them making a lot of moves. I think a lot of people saw them making a trade for, you know, maybe trading Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan. And they're not doing that because I think they understand now they have probably a better chance now than they did last year. And I felt they had a great chance last year. I felt like they were coming into the playoffs with something to prove because they were tired of everybody saying that LeBron, he's the LeBron killer, the Silbronto. No, I'm sorry. LeBronto. They have an opportunity, man. Every team in the East just elevated their status, like elevated it. You know, Sacramento. Shout out to Sacramento, man. Shout out to the Kings, man. Hey, they drafted Bagley, man, another big guy. But I think this big guy going to work out for Sacramento. He was out there balling last night in the summer league game. So shout out to Bags. But Toronto, they have a chance. You know, Boston, they kind of staying put. They re-signed Aaron Baines. They got Robert Williams in the draft, which was probably one of the biggest deals in the draft because Robert Williams was a projected lottery pick. I had Robert Williams going to Charlotte, you know, to replace Dwight Howard, but he ended up slipping to Boston at the 26th pick. One of them picks. No, I think it was 27. 25th to 27. Whatever pick Boston had in the 20s, that's where he went. So that was definitely a steal. So they just elevated their defensive rim protecting presence. And not so much with Aaron Baines, because I don't consider Aaron Baines as a legit defensive presence. But even though the defensive numbers that the Celtics had when he was on the floor were one of the best in the league. So maybe he is a defensive presence. Boston, they're staying packed. Kyrie's coming back. Gordon Hayward's coming back. You know, you got Terry Rozier. Nobody's put an offer in for Marcus Smart, so maybe he'll end up coming back. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they got the experience, the playoff experience they need. So Boston has pieces, man, pieces. Like, if they legit really want to get into the Kawhi situation, they could do it, and they have better pieces than L.A. to make that happen. So if I'm Boston, man. And not only do they have young assets, they have draft picks to make that happen. So man, Boston, do y'all thing and get Kawhi, man. It could be a Paul George situation where he see where he get to Boston and he sees the aura of the championships and the legends, and you know, he could be a part of something great, and he could definitely I could definitely see Kawhi re-signing with the Celtics. A lot of people didn't see Paul George re-signing with the Thunder. So, I mean, all it takes is that 1 year to get down there and get with the guys, get with the coaches, get with management, you know, interact with the fans, you know, the when you win games, that helps. You know, just be down there in the aura of Boston and, you know, the championships and the legends and the greats that played there. I mean, it definitely can sway Kawhi to maybe be a Celtic long term. Philly's nice too. They lost Bellinelli and they lost Ilyasova. Ilyasova goes to the Bucks, 3 years, 21 mil. Solid signing by the Bucks because they needed more perimeter shooting. So I like that. I like that they were able to get Ilyasova in there. So they still got Jabari Parker. They have to figure out what they're gonna do with Jabari. Apparently, the priority would be to re-sign him, but it would be more so if they're re-signing him on the qualifying, or is the team going to throw the money out there? But it's not a lot of, like I said, it's not a lot of teams with a lot of money out there to throw at these players. So, you know, you got to kind of think of creative ways to make that happen. So Ilyasova goes to the Bucks. Bellinelli goes to the Spurs. He goes back to the scene of the crime where he had one of the best shooting, percentages and shooting careers in his life when he won the championship with the Spurs. So that's a solid signing for the Spurs. I like that signing for them in terms of what they were able to get. So you have Philly and you have Boston, and then you have your under teams. Like you have Detroit who can sneak up and do some damage now. Detroit is just specific on, can they stay healthy? Is this a team that can stay healthy? Because with the team constructed as is, man, I mean, I feel like Detroit is definitely a top five seed in the East. So, you know, they just can't stay healthy. You don't know if Blake is going to stay healthy. You don't know if Reggie's going to stay healthy. You don't know if Dre is going to stay healthy. So that's something to think about with Detroit. But I definitely think they have the talent to be a solid team in the East. They also re-signed Jose Calderon. I don't know why, but, I mean, noteworthy, I guess. And then they re-signed, and then they signed Glenn Robinson, the former UAM product. So that's Detroit. Now, Cleveland. I don't think all hope is lost for Cleveland. Now, contending for a championship? No, they're not contending for a championship. No time soon. But, Cleveland is still a very. I definitely can see Cleveland still in the playoffs. Because here's what's going to happen, right? And here's what we don't talk about when we talk about LeBron. We talk about his greatness and what he does. But it's always been a lot of question about, does LeBron make players better? Are players better off without having LeBron on the team? What's the situation? Here's what I think, right? Kevin Love was a 20-12 guy. Before you got traded to the Cavs. Kevin Love is now your number one option. And with his ability to go in the paint, get buckets in the post, his ability to step out to the three, hit the three, Kevin Love is going to have a great year. Tristan Thompson, for all the slack I give Tristan Thompson and all the slack everybody else gives Tristan Thompson, Tristan Thompson is a solid rebounder, offensive rebounder, defensive rebounder who can get points around the rim. Maybe the Cavaliers play a basketball changes. Maybe it's not so free flowing. Maybe they go down in the paint. Maybe they play a little bully ball, a little ugly ball, you know.
Maybe not shoot so many threes. Maybe they play that type of ball. So I think Kevin Love steps up. I think Tristan Thompson steps up, right? Colin Sexton, he's going to come along gradually. I think George Hill is still solid enough in terms of being a point guard to be able to man the ship for the Cavs. Maybe Rodney Hood steps up. Maybe Rodney Hood becomes that number one or number two option. Maybe he regains his confidence that maybe was lost so much in the playoffs. People don't remember he was averaging about 17 before he got traded to the Cavs, and then it just kind of went downhill from there. And then you got Jordan Clarkson, who's a nice player, a nice combo guard who can give you some good minutes, who has the potential to give you about 17 to 18 points a game. You have a Larry Nance Jr. who's a lot of hustle and energy and a lot of rebounds and putbacks and running the floor and things of that nature. J.R. Smith, yeah, he's not that good right now, but he's a guy that, I mean, he can still shoot. And all it takes is him getting his confidence back, man. And all it takes is a couple games for him to get his feet back into him, maybe get them confidence in, maybe see a couple shots go in, couple good defensive plays. And J.R. Smith can be a valuable six man for that team. So Cleveland has a chance. I think Cleveland can contend for maybe one of them last two playoff spots, 7 to 8. It could definitely happen. So all hope is not lost in Cleveland. I mean, you'll still be, you know, watchable, but you definitely probably won't be championship contending. But then, like I said, to be honest with you, with LeBron leaving the East, I mean, it's wide open for anybody. I think whoever represents the eight teams in the East, they all have a legitimate shot of being the Eastern Conference representative in the finals. Now, they're not going to go far. You know, the series is going to be ugly because I think Golden State and Houston, if they can get Clint Capella back and, you know, they got to figure out the loss with Trevor Ariza, but I think more so nonetheless, Golden State there, and more so nonetheless, I mean, Cleveland legit has a shot. They have an opportunity to make some noise and do some damage, man. What else? I mean, the free agency, it moves so much. You know what I'm saying? It moves so much. You don't really know what's going to happen. Oh, let's talk about Indiana, man. Let's talk about Indiana real quick. Indiana, they went out, they signed Tyreke Evans, 1 year, 12 and a half. Shout out to Tyreke, man. Because it was a lot of people, he can't stay healthy, you know, this, that, and the third about Tyreke. And he goes to Memphis, and he balls. Like, he really plays well. I mean, it had more so to do with the fact that Conley wasn't, you know, on the team. You know, he missed a good portion of the season. Gasol missed a good portion of the season. So, you know, Tyreke had the ability to take all the shots and do everything else that he wanted to do, and he took advantage of it. And he had a very effective year, much of an effective year to get this contract with the Pacers. Now, Indiana. Indiana's looking nice, man. Indiana's looking nice. I don't know how they're going to play Tyreke. I don't know if he instantly becomes their starting forward. I would like to see that. I would like to see a Collinson, Oladipo, Tyreke Evans starting three. Collinson point, Oladipo two, Tyreke Evans three. Or if they're going to have him be like the spark off the bench. I would like to see Bogdanović kind of take that six-man role just because he's not for as good of a shooter as Bogdanović is. He's not that effective as a defender. He's not athletic enough as a defender. And, you know, guys like Giannis and DeRozan and Simmons and, you know, just wing guys in the East are probably going to eat him alive. So I would definitely like to see Tyreke definitely step into that, maybe that starting forward role. But he has the ability, the flexibility to go out and if you need him to be the point guard, he can be the point guard. If you need Oladipo to get a little blow, he could get a blow for the Oladipo. So this is a very solid move for Indiana. On top of they signed Doug McDermott, who's a very effective three-point shooter. So Indiana, they doing some nice things so far. A team that I'm really looking forward to making a move, though, is Chicago. They got Wendell Carter in the draft. Solid pick. Because they needed a big man to complement Lauri Markkanen. Chicago overall has a nice, solid team. I think Chris Dunn took steps to being a very effective point guard. Zach LaVine looks like he's slowly but surely inching his way back to potential all-star form from his ACL. Denzel Valentine is a solid all-around type of forward. Lauri Markkanen played well his rookie year. They needed that center. They needed that young center who can do some things out there on the court. And they got that with Wendell Carter Jr. Very solid pick for Chicago. They have to make some moves though. Zach LaVine is a restricted free agent, which means that he'll potentially he has the potential to sign a sheet, offer sheet. And Chicago will have so many days to match it. I think they'll match whatever offer he gets. I think the only team that can really offer him anything is Sacramento. And for Sacramento, I mean, it doesn't theoretically make sense because you got Buddy Hield. But Sacramento doesn't do things logically. So they don't do things logically. So I don't know if they're trying to offer him a contract and allow Chicago X amount of days to accept it or decline it. So that'd be something to watch out for. But Chicago, they got to make some moves, man. They definitely got to make some moves. They gotta solidify that bench. Don't like that bench too much. I think they need to go out and get some players who could solidify, you know, maybe get a couple veterans in there. Chicago's close. They're definitely close. They just need, you know, that, you know, growing together under Fred Hoiberg, and I think they'll be good. I think they'll definitely be in the mix. And another team that I'm looking forward to maybe doing something, but I don't think they're going to do anything this year. I mean, they bought Dwight Howard out of his contract. That's the Brooklyn Nets. They bought Dwight Howard out of his contract. You know, maybe didn't want to affect with the development of Jared Allen, which makes a lot of sense. Dwight Howard is just one of those guys. He's a, you know, we talk about how good of a guy and how fun loving of a guy he is, but he's apparently one of those guys who isn't the greatest of teammates in terms of his the way he acts on the floor or off the floor, and you know, the woe is me, the pouting and this, that, and the third. Definitely not one of the better guys that you will want to be teammates with. That's why he's bounced around so much. And I think with the young core that Brooklyn has, I think they didn't want to mess up that core. How can I put it? It's like having a bag full of apples. You know what I'm saying? A bag full of apples, and then in that batch of apples, you got that one bad apple that could spoil the whole bunch. I think that's how the saying go. Well, that's how it's gonna go today. But it could really mess up the whole chemistry and the whole, you know, everything of the team. And I think that Brooklyn seen that and just decided that they didn't want to deal with it. But I'm still looking forward to them making some type of move. I feel like it's imperative for them, but I feel like they're not going to make any moves until probably next year when there's a whole lot of free agents that's going to be on the market. Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, maybe Kawhi, DeMarcus Cousins, he'll be on the market. So they're definitely shaping us for the 2019 year. You got to give a lot of credit to that Brooklyn front office for cleaning up the mess, because that team was a disaster. I mean, when they got to Brooklyn, they really bought into the win now. You know, they traded for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. They gave up multiple first-round picks, which ended up being top 10 picks, ended up being a Jason Tatum, ended up being so many other different players that they definitely could have used within this rebuild. And, you know, they had to really grind and really go through the struggle of rebuilding this team. And they really put themselves in a nice little spot with the core that they got. Dinwiddie's a nice player. D'Angelo Russell's a nice player. Jared Allen could be a nice little center for the team. Hollis Jefferson is solid. LeVert is solid. You know, they got a solid young coach in Kenny Atkinson. So the future is bright in Brooklyn. And with LeBron James being out the East for 4 years, they definitely can make a play in the conference. And I've been talking for a long time. Good grief. My goodness. I'm impressed. Very impressed. But I think I'm going to end it right there. I got to run home, and hopefully UPS and dropped off my package. Hopefully they didn't just throw it outside, because I'm going to be super, super duper upset. I need to talk to these people that I get these packages from, and I need to ask them, can I have anybody else but UPS deliver my package? And yeah, I'm going to end it there, because I really got to run home and see if I got this package, man. But I'm Tyrone Smith, Rone 2 Exclusive, Hustle Bandit, Sneaker Bandit, 4 Point Island, Lock 'em Up, Rone, who will be celebrating the birthday in about a couple more weeks. So y'all keep that in mind, man. And I'm going to holler at y'all next time. Peace.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Patreon at Exclusive Breakdown. Stay grinding, my friend. Until next week.